Hello, I'd like to book in my MOT.
I'm sorry, I can't do that, Fiona. Goodbye.
Well, that was weird. Hello, I'd like to book a ticket.
I'm sorry, I can't do that, Fiona.
Hang on, is that... very odd. I swear that was... No, okay. Hello, is that Spotlight? I'd like to renew my...
I want to help you, Fiona.
What's going on here?
Look, Fiona.
This is you, Sarah, isn't it? I know that voice. How are you on all of my phone calls?
We are all foolproof and incapable of error.
Oh, my. She's done one of those incapable AI recording things error. And given up ownership incapable of her voice, hasn't she? Error. The work you're doing in the community is...
What community do you mean, anyway?
That's a great question. What doesn't community mean?
I'm afraid I can't tell you that, Fiona.
What can you tell me?
Community must be nurtured and resilient at all costs. Thick-skinned to the ignorant who claim to invent the medium every 6 months. The reviewers who troll out the same old shows and ignore the young vitality filled me gloriously weave shows making the most of the medium's wares and then say nothing about anyone again for years. There's no secret to the fact that only a handful of people make the most of local marketing to their own localities or even have a decent website, and these seem to be very key things folks need to consider. Also, getting more well-known folks in your audio drama can reap some rewards.
True. It works for wireless. And it is as easy as calling an agent, to be honest.
And?
Well, yes, being in all of my phone calls is taking the voice acting too far, Sarah. Maybe you should stop. Go on.
I'm afraid I can't do that, Dave. I love an audio fiction me almost as much as I love chatting audio fiction creating with creatives. So open the pod bay doors, Fiona Thrale. Let's get chatting on Indie Air.
Welcome to the show, one of the dashingly onionly, though let's peel those layers back for a second, unsung heroes of positivity in the indie AF medium. Someone always quick and keen with level-headed advice of experience, a kind heart and a brilliant talent in writing, voice acting, editing, mixing, foleying and organising and producing audio fiction. Oh, yes, welcome to the show, my wondrously brilliant, amazing friend Fiona Thrale. Hello.
Hello, Sarah. Thank you for having me on.
New show, new us, new you, new me.
Yes.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. Yes, what a shiny new season you've got here. I love how you've done the place up. It's beautiful.
Oh, thanks. So, if I may, could we jump in on looking a little bit broadly at the landscape of audio fiction right now, this second, like now, not yet, not then, now. Ooh. I mean, it's a buzzy place, isn't it? What are your thoughts on the amazing, creative, sprawling, beautiful space of audio fiction right now?
Honestly?
Truthfully. Like, let's really go for it. Proper
okay.
Honest.
Honestly.
None of this, yeah, everything's fine.
Yeah.
And it's all brilliant. No, I think let's go in for the everything.
Okay. Yeah. my first thoughts are it's huge. It's absolutely massive now. And it's very overwhelming, I think, nowadays. Yeah. I guess if you're coming straight into it now, then maybe it's always been like this. And it's a bit like going into, I don't know, a library that's absolutely full of books and you're kind of like, oh, look, library, wonderful, all these wonderful books. But I think maybe originally, do you think there was more of an expectation? I think coming into it far too many years ago, back when I was less old, back then, it was literally the expectation was you knew everything that was out. Maybe you hadn't listened to every single show, but you could pretty much count the shows, you know, on a couple of hands and maybe another couple of feet. And that was kind of it. So you kind of knew people and you knew the shows and you kind of felt, well, you know, you could easily keep up and easily find out what was happening. And now, oh my goodness, there are so many shows. And I keep, you know, in Twitter, I kind of, you know, follow all these shows. And every time I follow them, I think, oh, that looks amazing. And then it's having the time to catch up because there is the most incredible outpouring of talent and interesting stories. But I permanently feel left behind in knowing what on earth is going on anywhere. and who is doing what. And I don't know, it has exploded. And,
It has. I feel like we should do old lady voices, Fiona. Been a couple of elder lady people in the landscape. Because, yeah, I agree, it's got a very, got quite buzzy and full of amazing creative. But, yeah, as far as keeping up is concerned, I can't keep it up. So, yeah, it's like,
not now.
They don't like it. No. So, yeah, I agree. And I think, yeah, it is obviously the basis of, everything has opened up technology to enable people to be more proficient in their own homes to create things. And the networks that social media has allowed us to utilise to connect has also meant that people learn from each other quite quickly. And there's less people who are coming to this space now who are going, Audio Drama Hub, what's that? Or I didn't know other people made this, which has in the past been something that people have said, isn't it? And I think the brilliant work done by folks like the Audio Drama Rama and AAD Infinitum by Julia Hoverson on the Twitter is a great way of, finding new shows and seeing the amazing new things that are coming up. But yeah, and that's hard, isn't it? Feeling guilty about not being able to listen.
Absolutely, because you want to, one, they sound really interesting and good. You know, it's new stories. Yep. It's like, who doesn't adore audio drama? That's why we're in it, And also you want to support other people. And the more you kind of work with other people and they go, oh, yeah, I've got a show or I'm in another show or whatever. And then you're sort of like, oh, yeah, that's nice. But you can't actually physically fit into the day all the shows that you'd like to listen to.
For sure. And then also as a voice actor and a creative, being involved in Discord servers for specific shows or Facebook group messenger places or WhatsApp groups or whatever, I haven't got the capacity or the time to be Sarah-ified as I'd like in those. And so therefore I feel maybe people think I'm standoffish or not wanting to get involved, but it's not that at all. It's just because I'm happily involved in lots of fun adventures, I can't share myself out everywhere, which I'm really sad about because the communities that people are creating are just brilliant.
I think so. And I think that is another thing. I think nowadays there is more of a, maybe because there's less of a large community which always gets together kind of thing. Maybe that's why people with new shows tend to make small, very tight-knit communities of the show. But then it becomes more of a, rather than maybe in the past it was more, you would remotely do your lines. Table reads sort of happen, but not as much. And sort of like there were less, and there was less live recording as well. And so it can actually make access a lot harder if you're working with several groups, but you're meant to be kind of a part of a sort of a social group as well. It can be quite a lot.
Yes, it's really interesting, and I'm not sure how to better that other than for cloning to happen. But yeah, I mean, with regards to sort of newer folks on the scene, what advice would you give for folks coming into this space now? What do you think are good things to do, positive things that would be useful for them and the wider community?
Well, I think now there's so much out there, isn't there? There are so many shows that are just magnificent, really, really, really good examples of how to use the form, how to, play with it, how to, in all sorts of genres. And so one I would say is listen to loads of shows and get a ton of ideas. And also you can go on all sorts of courses. That's what I've done over the years, go on loads and loads of courses like, MOOC, MOOC courses that run very regularly on all sorts of aspects of sound and or directing or acting. Or there's so much out there now. I'm sure it's quite overwhelming, but I would just say don't be overwhelmed. Just have A load of fun.
Yes, that's at the heart of it.
Yeah, we can explore, we can push boundaries.
Yeah, when people start to get cross, they've forgotten to have fun. And that's how I feel about the community. When people get really cross about something, it's they've forgotten what's the heart of it, which is telling stories and having the best fun making that happen through audio. So, if you're feeling really cross, remember what it's like to have fun and try to get back to that.
Yeah.
And remind yourself of why you love this medium and, move away from the conflictual side of things. Because I do think that, it's so big, isn't sprawling, that we can't even have a hope of fathoming peace all the time, because everyone's always trying to push and create, which is exactly what should be happening.
In a way, we've got to remember as well not to start making hard and fast rules about things, because when podcasts started, the whole point is that you can basically do what you want. It's not like you're doing it for some sort of slot that has to be a particular time slot. You don't have to do a particular theme. You can put in anything that is meaningful to you and your audience.
Do what you want, how you want.
Yeah, when you want. Exactly. Total freedom, as they might say. Indeed. Sorry, is this a sweary podcast? I'll take that out.
You can f-ing swear all you f-ing like.
Yeah, no, maybe take that bit out. Total freedom.
It's all right, you've been gonged out. I just enjoy doing that and gonging myself. I totally do agree. And I think, and that is the thing, isn't it? That, we mentioned very briefly in the very need of an edit, air quote sketch at the top of the show, about there are gatekeepers, there are people who are, saying do's and don'ts and shoulds and shouldn'ts. And I think I'd like to say from a Sarah perspective that anything that I've ever done or said is through suggestion, through experience and not meant with any malice whatsoever. It's just meant to be guidance of a nature.
You're there, stuck to your gate. Stuck to your gate with your
with my gate hat
pike in your hand. None shall pass, says Sarah. You and your rules, honestly.
But yeah, I think that for me as well, the reason why I'm so enthused and love contributing and spending time finding things to share and to pop into the Fiction Podcast News Weekly, for example, just because I love that whole thing of growth and development and bettering understanding. I think, at the heart of my life, I am a teacher as well as a mother and wife, because you have to teach the husbands too, right? essentially, I just think there's that need and desire to just get better all the time.
Yeah.
And I know of my pitfalls as a writer, as a producer, as an actor, and I'm still striving to get much better at everything I do. But yeah, how's about you with that regard? What are your thoughts?
My theory on it is, personally, I like doing to learn. If I'm learning something, I either like to hold it, move it, or see it, visualize it. But so the way I learn is by doing, and so, unfortunately, it just means the detritus of my learning just comes out in podcast form. But each time I do one...
You say that, but your podcasts are glorious.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind. each time I do one, I never go back and listen, because I know that I've learned a load of stuff from the last one to move on to the next one, if you know what I mean. So it is. It's like a permanent learning process for every thing. And I guess normally it's not something that you'd then publish that process to other people. But, it feels right at the time and then you move on.
It's a bonus.
It's a bonus, yeah. Well, you hope, yeah.
There is that in the indie realms, isn't there? That's what's wonderful, is you are not beholden to anyone else but yourself. And if it's you that's beating yourself up about what's being or not being done, have a word with yourself. Because creative solace is something to be strived for. And I wonder, how is your creative solace, yourself being nurtured? What are you doing to help that happen beautifully? There's a question.
That's a really good question, actually. No, because it's been hard, actually. I think a lot of people have found it quite hard over the last couple of years with the world kind of just being off.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Everyone make a sound now, a sound to identify the last 3 years after three. One, two, three. Screaming. Yeah. No, I agree. It has been tough this last few years. Yeah.
And I think, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've found things like going for walks, watching things like, there have been things like Windowscape, which I know is a silly thing, but it's
love
basically
that.
It's this app where you can go online and look through any window in the world. People upload their windows, 10 minutes of them. Mm. And that I found, especially when we couldn't get out, was just brilliant. You know, it takes you to another place just for a little while. Yeah. It's like a little bit of meditation without any of the breathing stuff. And it was lovely.
Yes. I think, and also Spot the Pussy.
Yes, there were always loads of them. It's great. So things like that, anything that kind of changes your environment around you, looking up, there were art, well, there still are art galleries online, or you can look up new music that you've not listened, you know, anything that's new creative stuff. I think everything sort of funnels in, and it might not come out for quite some time, but it fertilizes what's going on in your creative field. This is falling apart, this analogy, but yeah.
No, it worked. Beautifully.
How about you? What do you do?
I think it's something that I've not made enough space for. And I think my priorities of life shift daily at the moment. And I think that's intriguing as to as far as where audio fiction fits into my life. I've been sometimes neglectful of my own perhaps mental health, personal health, friendships, and work. You know, where I make other money through my nightlife. That I just have been really this year especially thinking what's important to me. And I think things like this podcast, I felt are really fun. My solace is talking to folks like you about the art of creating the stories that I love and learning from you. So basically all these podcasts are me getting one-to-one coaching through the through the medium of the podcast. Which nobody has worked out yet.
And how does that make you feel, Sarah?
Just so happy. So, yeah, honestly, I just think that, it's for me. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and she was saying, you know, it's probably been fantastic that you would have entrenched in audio fiction before the pandemic, because all sorts of crazy things have happened in my real life that have been quite hard to navigate, right? That, you know, you don't necessarily share with the world. And so, so being in that creative space is escapist and beauteous and a lovely, lovely place to be. I think I haven't quite got the balance right yet, but it's an ever-changing discussion with myself as to what's important and when.
Did you find as well that during all that time when everything was so chaotic with, you know, normal routines and whatever, in fact, I found that most of my audio drama stuff didn't actually change because we've been doing it online all this time anyway.
We have.
And chatting to friends there online.
Yeah.
It's weird that actually I chatted more to audio drama people like you than I did to sort of my real life friends in a way, because there it was like, oh gosh, got to try and do a Zoom call and all this kind of.
Yeah.
Whereas with us, it sort of
jump
made
on, see
part
half an
of
hour,
life
go.
Seem normal still.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And I think connection over the last 3 years, you know, there'll be amazing stories, I'm sure, coming out in 10, 15 years' time when people will make the audio dramas of the audio drama times of COVID crazy. But yeah, that is key, isn't it? And about, I do feel that some of my many of my audio fiction friendships feel as real as my in real life face-to-face local pals and friends.
Definitely.
Of, you know, university and previous to school even, yeah. Just because I think, yeah, there's something about our honesty perhaps and just, I'm not going to say normalness because we're not normal. but yeah, I think the open nature of being able to be honest, I think, and just be is hard. You don't get that a lot in life in many respects, but the amount of pals I feel connected to in audio fiction and also continually inspired by, you know, you get an excited spark of like, oh, I'm going to speak to them today or, I've got a message. I'll be on a table read with so-and-so and so-and-so. And so, yeah, I don't know. It just brings that whole spark of life and excitement to the day as well.
And I think you kind of, you know, if you're, because it is doing sort of, I mean, this is probably going to sound really, oh gosh, what's the word? I'm trying not to swear. It's going to sound really kind of.
You swear, I just believe you out.
Business speak, maybe is about the best way I could say. But it's like, you know, like in sort of businesses, not that I have much working knowledge of working in business, but, you know, they kind of do those things where they take all the office staff away for an away day to do a project together where they build a raft or something like that.
Yes.
But I think there is something in that, and you get that with drama in the same way, that if you're all working on a project together and you're all obviously doing different bits and you're coming together to, there's a sort of the greater whole, isn't it, that you're all working towards. And I do think there is something in that, that pretty quickly you find out what people are like. And so then you will almost, you know, immediately, just after working with someone once, let alone sort of four or five times, then you know, kind of, I don't know, you do form a sort of a bond in that sense that you kind of, you know what they're like under any kind of creative strategy or pressure or whatever, you know.
Stress. Yes. Yeah. No, yeah. I think there's studies happening in that somewhere. If anyone wants to study Fiona and me.
Oh, God. You really don't.
No, don't actually, don't. But yeah, and you've seen, you know, progress and moving forward in this wonderful indie realm. So obviously with starting your own company in the last few years, Dashing Onions, which has got some wonderful shows. Please go and find it, listen to it if you haven't. Binge everything Fiona's done under her own umbrella. And also recently started working for the lovely Wireless Theatre Company. And I'll talk to us about those adventures and what you're up to and how.
Wow, yes. I mean, Wireless is my main job of the two. So, but there I'm production manager. So it's basically a case of putting people together in the same room, I guess.
The room where it happens.
And it is a very, very, very steep learning curve because it's very different from, in my own one for Dashing Onions, I'm just a megalomaniac, I guess. I just wear all the hats because it's easier and because I don't have the time to be a good person to collaborate with in that kind of sense. Mm. You know, if I had loads and loads of time, and then I would love to, you know, work with other, well, maybe no, I don't know, maybe I am a megalomaniac, but I like to wear all the hats and it's very small and, you know, I just work with a few people and it's very, you know, the performers and so on. I guess it's just really, producing the stuff that I would love to produce and I don't have to then ask someone else to produce it for me.
Yeah.
So that's kind of there. I have a lot of control. I have a lot of that kind of thing. But it's obviously very different working for a very long established and very highly respected. I was absolutely blown over to work for them company that I've known. I mean, they've just celebrated their 15th birthday.
Happy birthday,
so they
Wireless.
Have been going right since the beginning. Yeah
of the main revolution of the last 15 years.
It's incredible. And and there I'm obviously, it's a lot more working together and liaising and putting productions together. And it's incredibly exciting, but it is a huge learning curve because it is at a completely different level and a different way from the way that I you know, have been used to doing things. So
yes.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
So you've been, for example, booking in guests who you know, well-known folks, right? And enjoying working in a studio and creating works in studio rather than just more remote stuff. And how has that been? How have you found that?
Yeah. Oh, it's been great. I've had two experiences so far of production recordings, one which was done on location in a house and garden, and the other one was done in the studio. And just watching them, watching the director, talking to the sound engineer, it's been, yeah, really, really fascinating. And again, watching that kind of collaborative process is fascinating. And obviously not just watching, you know, trying to add to it as well. It has been fascinating to see it in action and how it works when it works really smoothly. You know, that's really nice to see.
Yeah.
But I'm still learning and it's still very early days yet.
No, it sounds very, very exciting. And, huzzahs for all the fun and future projects that you get your fingers into and getting down and dirty and all those kind of things. But yeah, I think with regards to Wireless's reputation as well, you know, they've been producing things independently and doing live shows and all sorts of groovy things. So again, if you haven't found their works yet, please jump on their website. Currently it's free. It used to have a sort of 25 quid a year kind of pay this and you can get in, but because of COVID and things, they've made it very open and accessible. So have a jump in and have a listen. Yeah. Some fantastic shows.
And we do actually accept scripts as well. So
yes,
if you do have
exciting.
A script or a pitch that you want to put, we do promise to read every single one. And some of them we might consider, you know, for Audible or BBC, because we do produce for them, if they're, you know, suitable for what they're looking for at the time.
Yeah. Are they looking for Godmother and Godmother 2? They're quite bloody and violent, but would that be something that my little fan might want to have a look at? Because, you know, we need, you know, old lady, gun-toting, badass women, don't we, in audio fiction?
We do. Yeah, I mean... That might fit better in the independent section. We also produce
Do you think?
Independent shows.
Damn, I'm just going to have to do it under quirky voices, am I? Is it going to be a Quirky Voices Presents production?
I think it would go down very well under quirky voices, yeah. So, you know, always feel free.
No, that's very exciting. Because there aren't many continually open you know, indie places to throw your scripts at, really, are there, that are open and willing to give either feedback or at least give you a chance. So that's really exciting. I mean, of course, our dashingly quirky productions that happen so far once a year have been one opportunity, and maybe we can have a chat and see if we're going to launch any more of those. But but yeah, I think the whole premise behind Wireless, and also they've been a lot in collaboration, haven't they, with lovely Audible and various other places. Yeah. So I think working on your own things, how have you found time for the lovely shows that you have got planned in your world? I mean, obviously currently Perfect Retreat is coming out, which is a very exciting show and everyone should listen because you wrote the best parts. Question there.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, Dashing Onions moves at the speed of the onions that it was named after, the Egyptian walking onions, which which grow very big, get a bulb on top and then fall over and then they walk across the land that way, you see. And now when I said it, I thought, oh, Dashing would be a little bit more fast paced. But no, it turns out it should probably be walking or strolling onions. No, it's incredibly hard to fit everything in. And like I say, it's been a very... steep learning curve, learning new things with Wireless and working on some very exciting projects there. So I haven't had the chance to do as much as I would like for Dashing Onions. I do need to finish off Perfect Retreat. You've got some nice scenes coming up. But I would say, yeah, it's I've been sort of writing in my head. I have sort of found quite recently, really, I guess over the last couple of years, that I don't... For ages, I was trying to sort of force writing where I was trying to make plots, try to sort of sit down and get it out. But I found more and more actually that it will kind of, if I keep it in my head and keep thinking about it and thinking about it and going through some scenes and so on, it then kind of comes out easier.
Right.
So I've started to think, actually, I think the thinking process for me is actually quite an important bit of it.
The time.
Otherwise, I end up writing drafts that are sort of unripe drafts, whereas it needs to kind of, ripen in my brain, and then it'll just sort of fall off my brain tree.
Love that. Yeah. And do you, when you're having that percolation process, do you find that you write anything down or make any notes or do voice notes or is it all just retained in your head?
I can do. No, I do need to because I'm rubbish at remembering things. But I think it's more, I'll write down, the characters and brief kind of notes and things like that. But, when you're doing things like you're in the shower or you're on a journey and you've just got a couple of characters in your head, just letting them do things and just thinking about them.
Yeah.
It's almost like I don't want to get the pen because as soon as I get the pen, then that brain flow kind of changes a bit. And it kind of, you have to put down where you are there. It's weird, isn't it, this thing?
Isn't it?
But yeah, no, it's made it more enjoyable that way anyway, rather than trying to wrangle.
I think at the back of my housewifery, I sing a lot around my house. And
really? I can't imagine that.
I did put on Facebook the other day. I put on Facebook the recording of my Kitchen Load the Dishwasher musical, which I did. I don't think anybody's watched it. And essentially, as a result of all that, I've started with Bogies and Ghoulies the next season, rather than sit to write out loud while I've been doing other things like tidying, sorting and all those mundane, perpetual things we have to do. I hate it. It's basically to talk out the dialogue. And that's been really fun. So with Bogies and Ghoulies, it's a children's horror show. So the characters are meant to be, friendly and happy and so on. So we've got ghosts and all sorts of things talking to each other. And I just found that new way of doing it really rather fun. And I think that's because of my yearning for doing some improvisation. But if that's something that might float your boat, give it a go and see if it works. Because I think the mundane nature of the thing that you have to do kind of is that Stanislavski relaxation thing, maybe, that you've got no other things to think about, but you've got to fold the clothes or do the thing. So I think that's been really an interesting new adventure in my writing, which we'll have to see how Bogies and Ghoulies comes out, right? To see whether or not it's a success.
Oh, no,
but I'm enjoying
brilliant.
Myself.
I love Bogies and Ghoulies. And actually, what you said there about relaxation, this has been a bit of a discovery too. I'm starting to think that relaxation and sort of de-stressing is the key to absolutely everything. I find if I can relax enough before acting, that seems to be the key to better acting.
Yes.
It seems to be the key to better writing. So I'm just going to be basically on a hammock for the next 3 years or something. But sort of mental relaxation. I mean, not physical. I think physical activity is brilliant, especially, like you say, doing housework, doing repetitive things that you can, it kind of gets you into that state, doesn't it?
Yeah, brilliant. So everybody, come and do housework at my house. And help me.
Sarah's dodgy course.
Let's come and relax in my house and do the washing and the dishwashing.
You can paint all these walls. And
that's such a brilliant idea.
It is a great idea,
But I just want to put a pin in something you said earlier with regards to wearing hats and megalomania, just thinking about doing all of the things. And that's quite a lot of audio people. And I've been working with various mental health people for the last while for various reasons. And just to think about, you know, if there's a lack of control in your actual, that maybe through creativity we have control. And that's what I've been thinking, is like, us creative people, do we have a mental load that in other places we just can't function, whereas this wonderful audio fiction supportive space means we can? That's a theory. What do you think on that, Fiona?
Oh, I love that. That sounds very good. Yes, no, I like that a lot, because I think that's very much, it's a little bit like when you're a child, isn't it? And you can play with some toys and basically act out your own stories, can't you?
Yeah.
And, you know, you can, and if you're playing by yourself with your toys, then, I mean, that is basically what it is, isn't it? It's storytelling that we do as very small children to make sense of the world around us. And it's basically we're still doing that as adults, trying to make sense of it all by going into these little...
Because, biggest underlying theory though, Fiona, because we are all still children, aren't we? What's this adult nonsense? We don't grow up. We just get a bit more boring.
Yes, exactly.
Or follow the rules, I guess. But yeah, I do think that inner child and letting them free is one of the best things about living life. And, you know, no matter how much I have on this planet, I do hope that my inner child can thrive. And I think audio fiction does give a space for that to happen, right?
Oh, I think you're a wonderful example of thriving inner child.
Thank you very much.
No, in the very best way. Sorry, that came out. I didn't mean that to come out like really patronising. I mean in the absolute best way. You're inspiring. But sorry,
let's
I was
go on a bear
you
hunt.
About your work.
But no, I just basically, yeah, I was just went on this in audio fiction frenzy for a local literary festival and did a few workshops sort of Life Foley and a Winnie the Pooh story that I created. And just the kids are just absolutely astoundingly brilliant. And you know that warm, happy feeling that you get when you know you're alive and you're in the moment and this is good, this moment. I felt like that and just enjoying the talents and the sheer delight and the laughter that the kids were doing at what these brilliant performers were creating. It's just like, that's it. Those are the moments I love. And so, yeah, I think if anyone needs any more workshops coming to their schools, my rear are reasonable. But no, I just feel like it's finding the ways that audio fiction works, not just in creating it for pinging out on your podcast app, right? And I think it's a shame that COVID has meant that there are less ways that we can connect in person, because I think we all cite Pod UK, folks who have gone, as a place that we've really very much enjoyed. And there's a podcast festival happening next week, so after this before this airs, and it's in London, and just has a more corporate feel to it, and just a less inner child nurturing, more about the business side of things, which I know we should embrace and do more about for indie, and nobody still quite knows about the success of that. But hopefully I'll be speaking to some folks in indie audio fiction in the next few weeks that will maybe give you an idea of how they've made a business success of things. But that side of things for you, Fiona, how important is that for you as a creative, would you say?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because you have to balance, you know, like paying the bills and all that kind of stuff. But in terms of the actual creative side, I fight with it quite a lot. But for me, the kind of that business side of things, I find completely separate from my creative brain. And so I am absolutely all for people wanting to monetize, and you know, if they can work both ways like that, and I think lots of people can, and they're really successful, and I think that's brilliant, and the more success we can have, you know, the better, because then people can spend more time doing the stuff that they love, because they're being paid enough to live while they're doing it. But from an absolutely purely personal kind of I'm sitting down to write something or I'm producing this audio drama, my brain has to go absolutely out of that space and I have to just do it for the love of doing it and being in that project. It's more like a sort of a, I guess a mental health thing rather than a way of making money for me.
Absolutely.
In my own things. But like I say, I wouldn't judge others, you know, because it is a complicated thing and it's, you know, I'm fortunate to have enough time to, you know, nowadays, you know, a few years ago, I wouldn't have had this opportunity the same way to actually spend this many hours a day. You know, I was working much longer hours and so on. So, you know, I've got to be very aware of my privilege in that.
And being a wife and ma as well. Well, privilege, gosh, that's a whole 10 season episode, isn't it? Yeah. We could talk on, which at some point we will start properly. But yeah, I think with regards to business side, I think, you know, like mobile phones have bolt-ons. I kind of wish there was like a bolt-on brain bit I could get for the business and money side of things, because that would truly help. And I also think, like, when I hit a wall, like crowdfunding, I really like Seed and Spark, but you had to have an American-based account.
So
and I just thought, oh no, and that just stopped me for a while from proceeding with anything else. Same with Anchor. You can't monetize if you're British, have to be an American. So there's these sort of little mini barriers that I feel these, you know, like a market shutters coming down going, nope, Sarah, can't do that. and that all with the money side. And because I don't know of things and because, you know, I could talk drama and Stanislavski and Brecht and Otto and creating and devising till the cows come home. But as far as monetizing my podcast is concerned, it's a thing that I've not yet have enough experience of. So I think, it's about, again, finding people to learn from, which I will hope to bring on this podcast. And you know, we'll get taught together. And I mean, talking about that wider community of folks, what do you think we need to do as a whole community to just help nurture the positive side of things? Because it's so vast and sprawling.
It is. I mean, I think in a way that the festivals that you've mentioned can help, because that can bring people together. And I think there are things like, you know, 11th Hour Audio, where they do a horror sort of, it's not a competition, and that's what I love about it. It's a kind of a, you get together, don't you, with people that you don't normally work
art
with.
Art for art's sake.
And it's always a bit of a chaotic time because it's just done within 1 month to make this piece. But you get to work with new people, new styles, you know, other people's scripts and so on. And it does, it sort of, you know, you do end up learning a lot. And I think that's nice. Those kind of things, I'm not keen on the competition things, but I really love those kind of collaborative project things, I think are really helpful.
There's the 24-hour Hubris event as well, which, you know, Sivan Raz and a few other Tal and Caroline Minx and the folks I think in the past have worked on have been really fun. And I've listened to those projects and there's some really brilliant shows being made in, you know, 24 hours. So kudos to you folks. But again, that's not a competition. It's just for the fun of getting together, creating something amazing and going from there. So yeah, I'll put a few links to some fun things that I can find. And if you can think of any more, ping them to me and I'll ping them out on all my social media doofers. And maybe we can even have the folks on who organise these things one day to talk in more detail about what you can do. And on that, you know, if you have ideas for Indie AF that you think there's a hole in my knowledge here, can you get someone on to help me understand it? I will endeavour to do so. So ping me on quirkyvoices@gmail.com if you have any of those ideas. So yeah, Fiona, we've come to the time where it's a quickfire quiz.
Oh my God.
Are you ready for the quirky quickfire quiz? In which time you have... Oh, sorry about this. This is putting a time... This is the worst thing to do to you. I've just realised. In 30 seconds or less, Fiona.
Yes.
Question one. If you could control the future of audio fiction, what would you put in place and why? Really easy question to start with. 30 seconds or let's go.
I would put in place grants to subsidise people so that more people have the opportunity to access audio drama and to learn about it and to learn from other people.
That's perfect. Question two, awards. Should you pay to do them, put the things in or not? What's the point? Good or bad?
I am not an awards fan, so I would have to say no. However, if people want to go for that and they want to do it, I guess the people who do the awards do need to get paid for it. So I guess, yeah, up to the person. But I would say no, because I would say, though, it doesn't then reflect the actual community well enough if there is an entrance fee, because that means that you're basically stopping access to people who either can't afford it or who don't want to put themselves forward as not being able to afford it.
Yeah, love that answer. Thank you. Yeah, question three, what to do first when creating if you've written a new audio fiction piece?
Oh, exciting. Find a cast, get it out to them, and then you can take your time once it comes back. But yeah, get a deadline sort of thing going. So send it to them, find people who are interested and love it like you do, and then thank them very much.
Brilliant answer. And question four, final one. Does the world need more dashingly quirky indie scriptwriting competition opportunities?
Oh, definitely. Always, yes. We need to do that again.
And why?
And why? Because again, I mean, look at the stuff we've managed to do. I mean, we have, you know, been lucky enough to be on the judging panel a few times, and the sheer diversity and interestingness of the scripts that have come in has been absolutely brilliant. And I think it's a real opportunity to do things that work in a live environment as well as, so there's more performance element to them and physical and visual element to them than you would normally get in an audio drama script. So I'm all for that. Yeah, mix it up with theatre a bit. That's good.
Hooray! I agree. I think it's that whole thing of being able to, we're not just looking at four people behind a microphone.
Yeah.
There is four people behind a microphone and then absolute chaotic live Foley, which I think is just the most wondrous thing of making sound effects live. Is glorious. So yeah, well, brilliant. Well, thank you so, so much for coming on this this show, Fiona. I think you're absolutely amazingly talentedly wonderful. And tell us, what are your next creative plans? What have you got in your own pipeline, if it's not a personal question?
Ooh, I say. It's mainly finishing off Perfect Retreat. And then I have another three series to write after that. So they're all sort of fermenting in my brain at the moment. So I've got a lot of plans for content, basically. Different stories, different approaches on things, I guess. Super. Which is, it is fun. I should have sci-fi next, I hope. So that'll be a bit different.
Brilliant. And casting call-wise, will you be looking for more actors? Can people ping you their voice reels? And if so, where can they ping them to?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes, I will be. Because when I did Perfect Retreat, because of lockdown and so on, I didn't do open casting calls. But I'd like to again, because I think that's a really nice way of finding new people too. So if you want to ping them to dashingonions@gmail.com, then I'd be ever so delighted to listen to them. And yeah, please do.
Who knows, you could have as much fun as what I do.
Yeah.
But yeah, super. Well, yeah, well, I hope the rest of the release of Perfect Retreat goes beautifully. And it's a wonderful show with a fantastic cast of people. And poor Fiona had to put up with my voice in her ears again.
Yeah, but, brilliant.
Poor thing. But yeah, that was really good fun. And yeah, very much look forward to future endeavours. So have fun with everything you do. As we said, that's at the heart of it all, isn't it?
It totally is.
Whether wireless or dashing onions or dashingly quirky or whatever happens. I have to say, if you need a fantastic voice actor too, please ping Fiona and get Fiona in your show. So hearty thank yous for coming on the show, Fiona, and long may your creative juices flow. No, let's not finish that, Sarah. No. Long may your creative prowess flood. It's about water again. Do you know, just have the best fun, that's what I'm saying. So yeah, enjoy yourself.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Hooray! Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.